So the first question that I have is, the provincial government launched their influenza program to ensure that everyone is vaccinated for the flu season. How do you feel about this program?
Well, I would say I feel strongly that we should be getting the flu shot, and I think that's something that we're hearing from public health experts across the board, you know, to minimize, obviously, the spread of the flu, but also to get at the potential devastating impacts of, you know, a double whammy of the flu and COVID-19. So it's about protection. And I can't speak to the details of the provincial program, as I'm less familiar with that, but I certainly support what experts have been saying to access the flu vaccine. Well, I've been pretty concerned about the provincial government's response overall. Here in the north, for example, thanks to the extraordinary work in particular of First Nations, but I think all of our northern communities pitched in that, you know, that we were able to come through the first wave of the pandemic very well. We're clearly seeing cases emerge in the north now during the second pandemic, cases that are of concern. You know, we have communities in our constituency that have had outbreaks, like Little Grand Rapids First Nation. We're seeing cases pop up in communities across our north. And this has everything to do with the fact that numbers are rising significantly in Winnipeg. Until a few days ago, numbers were rising as quickly in Winnipeg as they were in the greater Toronto area, obviously per capita. And we know that Ontario's had real issues with keeping COVID under control. So Manitoba is no longer the shining example for COVID, and certainly in the second wave. And I think that has a lot to do with complacency from the provincial government. You know, they were bragging about, you know, tourism, bringing tourists to Manitoba, encouraging tourists to come to Manitoba during the summer because we were COVID-free. But it seems like we've really lost the ball. You know, we weren't quick enough to shut things down when we heard about workplaces that were impacted and spread that took place there. I also question the fact that, for example, you know, Winnipeg is under Code Orange with additional targeted measures in the last few days, you know, that include, I mean, they've included for some time mandatory mask wearing. Why is that not the case across the province? Masks should be made mandatory in all of our communities at this point. You know, I'm joining you from Thompson, and a number of businesses in our community continue to not make masks mandatory. That's a directive that should come from the provincial government. It's basic when it comes to prevention. So let's take the measures necessary across the province, not just in Winnipeg, to keep our communities safe. And obviously we want to make sure that there's adequate access to testing, you know, effective contact tracing, and making sure that the most vulnerable communities, which are First Nations, have all the supports necessary. And that obviously involves the federal government, and that's something that I've been involved in advocating for some time.
Smack, I remember hearing one story about how, you know, there were a lot of financial flaws that were exposed from the pandemic, you know, which could have been fixed with a universal basic income. Like, how do you feel about, you know, the concept of a universal basic income for all Canadians?
My NDP colleague, the MP Leah Gazan from Winnipeg, who has put forward a bill to establish a universal basic income in Canada. It's a bill, it's Motion 46. And I'm proud to support her motion, which calls for a universal basic income, and also ensures that we will be investing as well in social programs, universal social programs, like healthcare, like childcare, like housing, so that we don't cut those programs further, those investments further, in favor of a universal basic income. I think what we've learned from the COVID crisis is the way in which people are extremely vulnerable, and at the best of times, but even more so when a crisis hits. You know, jobs disappear, people's hours are cut, and there's instability. And a universal basic income is a way of ensuring that people have their basic needs met, and it lifts all of us up. I mean, we all know that, you know, if there are people in our community struggling. It, you know, it has adverse impacts on them and the entire community, and certainly on children and our future. And so through a universal basic income, we can lift everybody up. But like I said, it's critical that we ensure that other investments like housing and healthcare are still made significantly, much more than they are right now, given the given the need to ensure that we're all doing good.
Is there anything that you plan to bring to the table anytime soon?
Well, for me right now, it's very important to fight for our region in terms of what we need during the second wave of the COVID crisis. Already, I've been in close contact with a number of our communities that are dealing with rises in COVID cases, and it's been important to raise the issues and put pressure on especially the federal government, but in some ways working with provincial colleagues like Amanda Laughlin on the provincial government as well. So for me, it's important to continue to do that. We need to make sure that our region is as safe as possible. We know that we are one of the most vulnerable parts of the country when it comes to COVID-19, and we need governments at the table, all levels of government at the table, to work with us to keep our communities safe. I am concerned right now that the rise in cases, and I do think we need more particular attention when it comes to our northern reality and the challenges that we face to deal with that. So that's top of mind in terms of the work that I'm doing at the national level. There are issues as well that we are following. I am the transport critic and the public ownership critic. So just this week, we've been pushing back on the government's privatization agenda, even as it relates to the COVID crisis, and also the challenges we're seeing in the transportation sector and the need to protect jobs and consumers going forward. So a number of issues on the go, but my top priority is keeping our north safe.
I also want to move on and talk about the Indigenous lobster fishers in Nova Scotia and what the government could do to solve that crisis and ensure that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, well, this is a very disturbing situation that's unfolding out in Nova Scotia. The racist, violent attacks against Mi'kmaq fishers have been just absolutely disturbing to watch. I know we in the NDP have been working closely with the First Nation to support what they're calling for. And yesterday, it was actually my request I worked with my colleagues to get it to the House. The NDP was granted an emergency debate in Parliament on this very issue, and our intent was to raise the urgent need for federal action to end the violence and support the rights of respect the rights of Indigenous fishers in the area. We have to recognize that this is a constitutionally recognized right, a treaty right. There's a court case that reaffirmed this right, the Marshall case, 21 years ago. Seen the federal government ignore the situation there and not step in for some time now to ensure that the rights of Mi'kmaq fishers were and are being protected. So what we've said coming out of yesterday is we expect leadership from the federal government to protect the rights of Mi'kmaq fishers, to work with Mi'kmaq fishers to ensure that they can safely practice their livelihood. And we also challenged the misleading arguments from the Conservatives and others around conservation and an all sides matter, all lives matter narrative that we've been hearing from them. We need to be clear, these are constitutionally protected rights that the Mi'kmaq have. It's not about conservation. If you look at the very small percentage of the fishery that the Mi'kmaq access, And we need to call out the racism that's been there and that we've seen on display there. And I on a personal level, you know, and we know, for example, how much the commercial fishing matters to our part of the country. We need to make sure that we are protecting Indigenous rights and that we are protecting communities to be able to access their livelihood. And that's not happening right now, and the federal government needs to step up and do its job.